what God has given me to write down. And I also am very aware of you, of your time, which is precious, and also of your attention span. I'm competing with a lot. I know that. But it's not too much for God. He takes it all. Okay. I'm not even going to ask the time. Yeah, I think it's right. I'm just going to do it and finish with the Lord's power and unction. Dear Lord, I thank you. I thank you for who you are. I thank you for your love for us, your people, your children. Lord, I thank you for everyone who has come into this church this morning to gather, to hear a word from you, to gather to praise you, to gather to encourage each other, and just that they pass many obstacles on their way coming into this church. But thank you, Jesus, they made it. They are here, and that means you can do something. You can help them because you are present to heal, to help, to speak to save, to touch, to deliver, whatever is needed. You are here to let them know that you want to help them. And we give you the praise for using me this morning, however you wish. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for a good day. And a good word. Amen. Amen. I love you all because I've been around here for a long time. I have come to know many of you personally. And I even see Shayna, am I right? A new person I met recently. See, God just keeps adding to the number. I give God the glory. The head of my life, he is my father and the Lord of my life. I love him dearly. I will do anything for him. And when you say that, and when we say that as his children, if you don't mean it, don't even say it. Because love covers a lot of things and encompasses a lot of things. When you love someone, those of us who are married know what I'm talking about. Those of us who have children know what I'm talking about. When you're in a relationship and you really love, you can't see the future. We can't because we're human. But we don't know how much the love we have for someone else is going to require of us. We have no idea what's coming up. But if you love, you'll stick with it. You'll hang in there, you'll do whatever is necessary to do. Sometimes you don't even know what to do. But with God helping you, you just stand in the moment and he works through us. To Pastor Greg, who I was hoping he would make it this morning, and he is with that beautiful smile on his face. We never know what life will entail. But when we know God, it's going to be fine because he is with us. And no matter what state we're in, he never leaves us and he never forsakes us. And I tell you, I have to say this, Pastor Greg. Many things that you taught us here, you preached about. Those things come back. They come back. I find myself all the time saying to people, I'm talking to them, saying, oh, my pastor says this, this, and that, and I'll tell you one that comes to my mind quickly. It's many. But one of the things that you said was how we are wired differently. It's how we're made. Everyone is not the same. You know, look at God, his creation, the butterflies. If you go to see a butterfly exhibit, or if you're just out and about and you see them flying, you probably won't see two that are exactly the same. And if you go to exhibits, you'll see the beautiful array of colors and shapes and patterns. Oh my goodness. Even you look at his creation, oh my goodness, I just get amazed over the flowers that he creates. And he can use them all. He can use them all. Sometimes the person who puts the seeds in the ground and the flowers come up, we put them in the ground again to make them into beautiful designs and everything in our yards. Like you see, a lot of people are decorating their yards with the flowers. Some flowers go through things. They look like they're not going to survive. And then maybe they didn't get enough water or something and they start to droop or what have you. But sometimes the person who's working with the flowers won't throw that one out. We'll say, you know what, I'm going to stay there with it, even though it may not be looking as spry as the other ones. I'm going to keep going, and praise be to God, you never know what that one may turn out to be or what may happen to it. But we can't give up on anything or anyone, because God is still in charge. We thank God for Pastor Joel, who is not with us today. He's at a wedding, performing a wedding. And we just ask that God bless him, and we know he's well deserving of that rest, the little rest he'll get while he's out there, while he's not doing the wedding. We thank God for Elder Kevin, because they, the men I've mentioned, they have been, Pastor Ray has been, and those men continue to do the work. Somebody has to do things so that everything can keep going. They have been working in this vineyard, and God bless them. To one of the sweetest women who is so down to earth that I know, Tina. I know she doesn't expect me to call her name, but Tina is a beautiful person. She loves God, and what I remember most about Tina, and we're blessed to have her as an example, is Tina loves the Word of God. She continues to quote it, and she loves it. And when you love God's Word and you meditate upon the Word, you can't go wrong, because God's Word will not return unto him void. When you are dealing with or handling or thinking about God's Word, it's not going to come up with a nothing. It won't be a zero. Believe me, there will be some things added to that zero. Amen. And you know it's not you, but it's God. It's God, because that word is alive. That word is active. That word is transformative. That word is living. Hallelujah. You could be feeling so sad, or you could be sick, or you could be even happy, and that word will just comfort you. That word will bless you. That word will get you going. That word will put you on your way. Amen. That's God's word. It's alive. Written by inspired men of God. When we're inspired by God, we live. Hallelujah. We don't walk around like we're dead. We are alive, and we want other people to be alive too. Hallelujah. And how is that? We love each other. When you're alive, you're full of love. I'm talking about alive in the Lord. Other people are alive with other things. I'm talking about when you're alive in God, your life is a life of love. It just keeps flowing like a river. You can't stop yourself. You go places, you meet people, you just can't help yourself. You gotta love people. You gotta be nice to people. You have to smile. This is what God is all about. My husband tells me, I can't take you anywhere. I can take you someplace you've never been. You're gonna talk to the people. Because that's how I'm wired. I can't help it. I can't help it. Now the challenge is when you have children and they do what you do. Oh my goodness. How do you help them to do what they need to do and not get into trouble until they can discern what they should do and when? To our visitors, we're very happy that you've chosen and God has blessed you to come this way today. world. hope for. But you know what? Even if life throws a couple of curves, no matter how well you may be or how healthy you may be today, even if you're sick, God is still good. He's still good. And Pastor Greg gets the award today for just being a very special man, because he is one of the few men that I know who something has happened to him that he didn't expect to happen. But he gets to be here and to hear all of the wonderful accolades from others who appreciate what God has used him to do. So if he never gets the opportunity to do anything more substantial, praise be to God, your work is done. We hope, you know, that you come back and do this and do this. We have all these hopes and dreams. But you know what? It's up to God. It's up to God. And we wish, too, for our dads that they could have good health and that they, too, could have a long life. We all hope for that. But no matter how your health is, no matter how long you live, it's not the condition you're in, it's not the length of your life, it's what you do with your life when you have it.
Amen, that's right.
So he can say, when I could, I did it. Amen. And I think about that all the time when I'm living. I say, you know what? What am I doing today? When I can, when I have my good health, when I have my good mind, when I can see, when I'm not in pain, what am I doing then? Hopefully I'm praising God in some way, shape, or form. Amen. Though there's no record of what happened to El Misu or his dad, the tradition of celebrating Father's Day remains in several countries all over the world. Okay, you think that's it? No, no, no. There's another version. The modern day version of the tradition says, Father's Day originated in the United States and then spread to other countries around the world. By who? A loving daughter. You know how those girls can get to their dads, right? A loving daughter, Sonora Louise Smart Dodd, known as the mother of Father's Day. She was the eldest of six children and the only girl. Whoa. Whose mom, listen to this, her mother died during childbirth when Sonora was just 16 years old. And her dad raised the newborn and five other children with care and love. What a man. Just imagine if you could do that. I leave my husband with the kids. Or I even, like we're planning, I have to do something and leave, but he starts telling me, make sure the food is labeled in the refrigerator because we know this one can't eat this, this one can't eat that. Everything has to be in order, right? So imagine this man left with a newborn and five other children. Wow, he deserves a big award for that. Okay, in 1909, this young lady, she was married by then. She heard a Mother's Day sermon when she was 27 years old. She thought, if there's a day to honor mothers, why not for fathers? I'm sure, looking at what her father was doing, she said, this man needs to be honored. Due to the love she received from her own dad, whose name was William Jackson Smart, some of these people had like three, four, five names, a farmer, he was a farmer and a Civil War veteran. Amen. So he would make sure his kids could eat, and if they got into combat, he knew how to handle it. Inspired by the lady that Pastor Joe told us about, Miss Anna Jarvis's struggle to promote Mother's Day, Mrs. Dodd began an extensive campaign to celebrate Father's Day in the United States. The Spokane, listen to this, Young Men's Christian Association, which some of us know as the YMCA, supported her cause. As a result, the first Father's Day was celebrated on June 19th in 1910. Whew. It wasn't until 1972, 58 years after President Woodrow Wilson made Mother's Day official, that the day honoring fathers became a nationwide holiday to be observed annually on the third Sunday of June by President Richard M. Nixon. It's closer to home. Okay, I was a little interested, like, what happened to this lady? Like, we don't know what happened to El Misu and his dad, but what happened to her? Like, what was her result of her life? In addition to her work of establishing Father's Day, Sonora was an artist, a poet, and an author. She wrote a children's book about the Native Americans of Spokane, where she lived. She had one son, and guess how old she lived to be? 96 years old. Whoa, that's a long time. The commandment is true. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Amen. Okay, today. So, gave us the history. We had our salutations. What's next? We are blessed, and I'm having challenges this morning. That means God is really up to something. I mean, so small, it's not funny. My big Bible that I can really see, I thank God I can't see without the glasses, small print. But my big Bible, I don't know where it is. I lost it. I lost it recently. And I misplaced also my shades. What is that? I don't know. Well, thank God I have another Bible, large or small print, and thank God he's blessed me. I had to take Nashon to get new glasses, and I ordered a pair of new shades for myself because mine are prescription. I can see you, but I can't see the person way across the street if you open the doors. Okay, if I had to give today's sermon or message a title, and I'm not going to be long, and it doesn't matter, because when you become God, then you tell me. But you are people who love God, so you wouldn't hear if I was here until tomorrow. The title, if I had to give it a title, you know I respect you and you know I'm aware. I don't like to do things that are wrong because that's how I was taught. I would give this sermon the title, The World's Greatest Dad. And we see that in a lot of things. You know, when you go into the malls and the stores, they have these little trophies made up, World's Greatest Dad. They might have it on cars. You see that a lot. We have a double blessing, because not only do we, the Christian people who believe in Jesus and God, Father of Jesus, we have a double blessing because we have the Son. We have three entities in one. We have God the Father, we have God the Son, and then we have God the Holy Spirit. We are very blessed. He knew that we would need them in all these attributes to get through this life and to get to the next. What came to me, I was like, God, how do I put this together? What came to me was that in Matthew 6:19, Jesus told us how we should pray. Matthew 6:9. And he said, I could just ask one of the gentlemen here, because he said it when we were in the prayer this morning. Jesus told his disciples, Matthew 6:9, after this manner, therefore pray person sometimes has to do it. God knew, and he allowed his son to help us and to share with us that we, especially men, you know how men strive to be strong, be a leader in the home, that's what God wants them to be. If we women always feel like we have to pray, you know the men have to pray. The men can be up against challenges that I remember when I first got married to my husband, that he would be dealing with stuff that he was so absorbed with so many things he didn't even see it coming. Sometimes it would be right in front of him, he didn't see it. I said, "Brock, don't you see?" And the women, I'm not going to be loud, but you know what I'm talking about. He didn't even see what somebody was trying to do to cause trouble in the marriage. Amen. So if we all have to pray, the men especially have to pray. And isn't it lovely that Jesus said, "You guys, you are the man that you are, that I wired you to be, but it's not all on you. If you lose your, oh God, hallelujah. If you lose your job, I hope you don't lose your job. If you lose the health you were used to, or the ability in some part of your body that you was used to, if you suffer a loss of someone in your life that you depended on, that you would always talk to, or you counted on for advice, you don't have to worry. You don't have to worry. Why? Because his son. Oh, look at this. When you teach your kids stuff, hallelujah, that you don't know, that little child that God blesses you with, kids are not just for nothing, you know. You think you're teaching them, they will come back and tell you things that you told them that you forgot all about. Jesus says to us, as he said to the people of that day, you're going to have to pray. You think you don't have to? This world is crazy. You could be nice. You could be an honorable man. You could want to do everything right. And then stuff happens. People will treat you a certain way. They'll do stuff to you. You're going to have to pray. But you've got somebody to go to. Jesus said, you got father. You might be a father, but you got one too. You have a father. And these cards are talking about the world's greatest dad and this. You know who the world's greatest dad is? The Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. That is your father. Yours, personal. And you know what I love about him? Because he's not a selfish God. He can be your father, your father, your father, your father, your father, your father. And he knows what's going on with you, with you, with you, with you. And he can deal with all of our situations personally. Hallelujah. Just like the earthly fathers may have a lot of children, one or two even, maybe three or more. Each child is wired different. You as the father have to know how to deal with each one. You tell this one this, and you know they'll do it. This one needs something a little bit stronger, because when you're telling them, that's not going to work for them. God, our Father, we can come to him. We're not alone in this world. He even says, when your earthly mother or father, the word says, when your earthly mother or father forsakes you, then the Lord will take you up. I am in that position now. My parents are gone, but I am God's child. From the very beginning, my own heritage was that I was very, very blessed. Those people loved me so much. They were so nice. They didn't tell me I was adopted. They didn't go around introducing me. Oh, this is my adopted daughter. Blah, blah, blah. They didn't do that. They would just say, this is my daughter. I don't even know to this day who knows I am in my own family or not adopted. I don't know. So I never had that discussion with my family. That's how they were. But they loved me so much that I said to them at different points, was I adopted? I know their heart must have almost went to the bottom of their shoes. Like, who told her? Why is she saying it? God told me. He told me. He's letting them know. You may think you're keeping a secret, but I tell them. He told me. And I asked them, and they said, why do you think that you're adopted? I said, because you and Daddy treat me so good. And I've seen how some people treat their children. And they don't treat them so nice sometimes. So I must be special. And I was to them. And I thank God for that. I also know on the flip side, some of you sitting there, and maybe your experience with your earthly dad wasn't good. There's some people, it's not always their fault. Sometimes they don't see themselves, they never come to themselves and see what they're doing. Sometimes we just don't even know why. Those are things sometimes we cannot answer. But it doesn't have to be the end. Whether your father was a good man, a kind, or a man who didn't know what he was doing, or a man who was just absent. Some people get so nervous about things and just say that. And they're like, they can't, but they didn't know they could come to God and he would help them. Not only would he be their father, but he would teach them how to be a father and the father they need to be to the child that they were able to have. And we all know children are a blessing. We pray that you could take whatever has been handed to you and give it to your father. Your heavenly Father, who is the world's greatest dad. Hallelujah. Your father may not have been what he should have been or could have been, but God can use you to be the best father to the children he's put in front of you, because that's what God does. Amen. He's that big. He's that good. He's able to be that transformative. Okay, secondly, the world's greatest dad, which is the Lord, his son also shares with Moses, the commandments, because a man who is a man of God, and that's the man we're talking about, has standards, and he gave Moses those Ten Commandments from Exodus, the 20th chapter. Moses has an awesome story. Moses was born at a time where they were killing the babies. The king at that time was killing the babies, put out of order. And the midwives, thank God for godly midwives, the midwives said, we're not going to kill all the kids. We're just not going to do it. And so when they were questioned of why they didn't kill all the children, you know what they said? The Israelite women who come from a class of people that you were trying to oppress, those babies are born real quick. They're fast. They come out so fast we can't prevent it. That's what they said. And you know what? Because they didn't kill the boys, God blessed the midwives. Moses was one of those little babies that came through. And they were told to put their babies on the water so they would be drowned. Moses' mom put him in the little basket, and God insulated that basket. Like, what's that stuff they sell? I should know it. Flexia. That thing must have been like flexia, because the baby was not dry. young girl, Miriam, takes the baby and says, all right, good. Do you know anybody who could nurse the baby for you? Miriam was Moses' sister, who worked for the Pharaoh's daughter. And she said, no, I don't know anybody. She said, I do. She takes the baby to her mom, which is Moses' mother, to nurse her own baby. And Pharaoh's daughter says, I'll even pay her. Do you see how God can work things out? This is God who gives Moses these wonderful words. And you might say, what? I've forgotten. I need to hear them again. Okay. I am the Lord thy God. God spoke these words saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Don't forget what God does for you. Out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Nobody else can be the greatest dad for you but God. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Amen. That's God. You can't think you're going to serve God and this other God. It doesn't go like that. You do that and you will not make it to eternity. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. We don't swear in the Lord's name. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
You're doing that. Check.
6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work.
Probably, check, we love to work.
But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy maidservant, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Okay, we too have to learn to rest. Some of us love to work. We have to rest. Honor thy father and thy mother. There you go. That thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God gave thee. And we saw that in the example of the lady who worked so hard and diligently to make sure this day exists. Thou shalt not kill. He doesn't want to be killed. We are lovers, not killers. Thou shalt not commit adultery. You go out, one of your husband or your wife, you think you can handle 2, 3, 4 or more? Really? I don't think so. Thou shalt not steal. We don't take what's not ours. Nashon is still learning that lesson. We go to, what's the place? I remember, I don't want to say that story. Doesn't relate. So, there we are. See, we all make mistakes. Okay, so that's it. We know what we're supposed to do and what we're not supposed to do. Okay, this is the end. God's man who takes instruction from the world's greatest dad, prays, he has a standard, he knows he has some rules he has to obey, but I love this. The last thing he does is, let's read the scripture for us, St. John 14:3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. God has a preparation for us, not just in this life. He's already prepared for where we're going. That's his great retirement setup. 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, remember I told you there were three parts of God? That Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Like children have to be taught, we too have to be taught, men or women. The Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, teaches us things and brings all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. I love that. Sometimes, well, like children, we tell them things they may forget. God, too, when we forget, will bring things to our mind. Don't you like that? Some, I think I could remember everything. I used to be able to remember everything. I used to didn't have to wear a girdle either. But there are times you have so much on your little mind, so much that comes to you, coming at you. It is a blessing when God brings back to your remembrance what you need to be aware of at the right time. And last scripture is John 15:12, which says, this is my commandment that you, and Joel will love this, that you love one another as I have loved you. Amen. The Father, who's taken instructions from the world's greatest dad, will love other people, not just himself, and he will love other people in a way that he would love himself. Amen. This is the way it goes. I used to think, like, my greatest fear, and I hope I don't have to ever be challenged like this, my greatest fear was that if I ever had to go to prison, because one time I heard it, I had a dream that I went there, and I woke up, and I was so happy it was a dream. But I used to say, if I ever had to, some crazy reason, if I ever had to go to prison, I said, I would act crazy and they would put me by myself in solitary confinement. And over the years, as I've lived and learned a lot about myself, I said, you know what? That's nice. That would not fly with you. You love people too much to be shut up in a cage by yourself. You couldn't do it. People would be passing by and you'd be saying, hi. You know, you try to make conversation with the person who gives you your food, with the guard watching. believe what he did, this is it. Get happy now. We can live a life in Christ through God, and we can live like we're loved by the world's greatest dad. I don't know about you, but that makes me happy. I love my earthly dad so much. My mother used to say, you would think that you were married to him. You two walk down the street, he on and on. She said, he's my husband. But that can happen when you have a relationship with the children. You love them, you talk to them, you teach them the right thing, you tell them, train them up in the way they should go, and they won't depart. They're going to have some trouble because they're not perfect. But they will not depart if you have train them the way they should go. You let God talk to you to help you to know how to do, what to tell them, when to tell them. Let me give you this. We're going to pray. I hope I'm okay with time. If I'm not, you have to call me. I never forget this one time. Kids like to go out, you know, with other young people, most of them. I wasn't born. Tablets and a computer like today. But I wanted to go out. I wasn't a party girl, but I wanted to go and see what that was all about. And I finally got up the nerve to ask my parents, could I go? And they said, sure. I was like, wow, I'm surprised. Well, they want to say no, because I don't know what these kids do at the parties. I thought they want to say no. These were kids from the church, school kids, not godly, not good. So I said to my dad, my mother was working because she used to work late. She was a hairdresser in Manhattan. I said, my father was there at the time. I had to get ready to go. So I said, Dad, what time do I have to come back? He said, whatever time you think is a good time. I said, okay. My room door. I said, oh, what time is that? All this pressure, decisions, decisions, so many hard decisions. Like I'm supposed to be so happy, but I'm not feeling happy. I'm feeling like, I don't know. So I'm like, okay. I was raised in the church from 4 years old. I'll tell you the truth. I went to the party. And in my mind, the Lord started to talk. He said, at 11 o'clock, if you're not having a good time, leave. And you make sure you tell the girls that we have to meet them, that when you see them. I met them, I couldn't wait to tell them. I said, I hope the party's good, but if nothing's happening by 11 o'clock, I'm going home. And one girl had the nerve to say, see, the devil is always in the night, missed sometimes, said, if you leave, we're not going to walk you home. Well, she didn't know my father. My father had given me cab, just in case. And I went to the party. It was not like our church gatherings. They just sat around. They were cute, cool guys. They were one side of the room. The girls was on the other. They looked at each other for hours and hours. And they're so shy. Talking to each other. I said, oh, this is like so boring. And I said, I hope they break the ice before 11 because I'm out of here. Well, 11 o'clock came. Nothing was happening still. The parents, whoever they were, I'm sure they were nice people, had the food there for us, the drinks, nobody was eating. Nothing. They weren't even dancing. I said, what is people now? Well, you know what? I remembered my commitment and what I said. 11 o'clock, I was out of here. And I said, I didn't have a phone like some of us have today. There was no cell phone. So I just started walking. I didn't live very far. I started walking. And then I didn't see a cab. That didn't distract me. I kept walking. My friend told me, we're not coming, we're not walking you. Okay, go now. Wasn't gonna let her hold me back.
Amen.
I knew he was trusting, and I didn't want to let him down. I said, if things weren't happening, I'm out of there. No matter what obstacles I faced, the friends didn't want to walk with me, there were no cabs, there were no buses, I had to get back home to my father to let him know. I know you love me. You let me go out there. Now I'm back to you. Hallelujah. That ends today's message. I'm sure that was for someone. Now, some other kids, you cannot tell them that. You have to give them a time. Because they'll take you up on it. They will come whatever time they want. And you'll be up all night praying, worrying, God, we are all there. We are blessed. We have the world's greatest dad. The Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you to stand. I wish Arlene was up here because she prayed a beautiful prayer today for our fathers. She really did. I know it's hard.